When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to Wolverine Confidential. I'm Ryan Zook.
And I'm Aaron McMahon.
Today, we are talking Michigan football spring game, the quarterback battle, and areas of need heading into next season. Plus, Sherrill Moore puts a bow on this spring, and the Wolverines finally break through on the recruiting trail. All ahead on Wolverine Confidential. Well, it's been a chaotic Monday, Aaron, and some of you might be thinking, Dusty May is on an unreal heater right now. Why wasn't Michigan basketball in the intro? Well, Andrew is on vacation, but he will be back for our NFL draft preview pod on Wednesday. So we figured we could, you know, save most of our basketball talk until then. But I guess just real briefly, we can run down what has happened in the last few days. Dusty May has landed a commit from four-star high school prospect Justin Pippen, the son of Scottie Pippen, and five freaking transfers. Just an unreal run right now. They got commitments from Alabama wing Sam Walters, Yale center Danny Wolf, a first-team All-Ivy League selection from last year, Ohio State shooting guard Roddy Gale Jr., North Texas point guard Reuben Jones, and Auburn point guard Trey Donaldson.
He nailed every position. I'll give him that. We knew coming in that like he had a roster rebuild, so I guess none of this should be a major surprise. But the fact that they've come this quickly, I mean, what'd you say, five or six now in the last 3 or 4 days? The only two returners I think that we know of at this point are Will Shedder and George Washington III. Dusty May has a roster rebuild. I mean, and nowadays to get it done quickly, you got to go through the transfer portal. And he's certainly done it. Now, obviously, they'll probably add a couple of recruits out of high school, and that's obviously still TBD. But so far, so good. And they got him on video going to the frat houses on the Michigan's campus over the weekend. So I would say he's winning almost in every category at this point.
Yeah, for sure. A lot of positive momentum for the basketball program. And they might not be done in the transfer portal yet either. I mean, there's still some targets that they're after as well. So some scholarships still to fill, and I wouldn't be surprised if that happens maybe pretty quickly. But again, we will talk more about that on Wednesday's pod when Andrew is back. But while we are on the topic of recruiting, we can dive into football a little bit. And Michigan football finally ended its commitment drought on Monday when four-star defensive lineman Nate Marshall verbally pledged to the Wolverines. He's the top 50 overall recruit in the country. He's from Illinois, the top-ranked player in Illinois in the 2025 class. And he's the first commitment under Sherrill Moore and the program's fourth in the 2025 cycle. So, I mean, to be honest, this was a little bit of a surprise to me. He visited for Saturday spring game and was slated to take an official visit to Ann Arbor this summer, along with to Alabama and Miami. But I guess he saw enough on Saturday to pull the trigger. And it's a monster win for Michigan, which has had a turbulent transition so far from Harbaugh to Sherrone. And they needed some sort of recruiting momentum to build off a national championship season. And getting a top 50 recruit for the first time since the 2022 cycle is a good way to start.
It is. And make no mistake, this was a Lou Esposito recruit. So he's quickly come on and kind of, kept him in the fray, I guess. It's a good land. I mean, they were up against, I'm looking at Arkansas, Michigan State, Miami, Texas, Auburn. So there were some big time schools. Ohio State was obviously interested. Alabama showed interest. So it's a good first one, but as you said, it's been a while since Michigan's landed a recruit. So I think they needed something like this to get off the snide. We'll see if they can, turn into more. But yeah, good win. But Michigan's got more work to do. No doubt about it.
Yeah, I mean, first commit since January 4th when Eli Owens, a four-star tight end, committed. But yeah, I mean, they enter the day with the second fewest commits in the 2025 class in the entire Big Ten, and that includes all the new Big Ten schools too. So only Michigan State has fewer, and they have yet to land any under Jonathan Smith. So we'll see what happens. They had a large visitors list on Saturday for the spring game. It might take a little bit more time for all these new coaches to build those relationships. But yeah, I mean, Sharone talked a little bit about recruiting today in his press conference, kind of the final bow on spring practices. I guess we could start there, and we'll get into the spring game too. I mean, that was on Saturday, but I don't know about you, but that was a tough listen today at Sharone's presser. I mean, it was hard to kind of stay engaged and not fall asleep, because to me it was like a total snooze fest.
Yeah, it was 15 minutes of about nothing. It really reminded me of like an in-season, like throwaway game week press conference with Jim Harbaugh, where he doesn't entertain any questions. He gives you short answers, gives you a lot of, one to three words responses, just nothing you can work with. That was clearly Sharone's MO kind of going in. And look, I guess from behind the scenes perspective, I get it. Like, Michigan's facing a lot of pressure right now. I mean, they just got handed probation by the NCAA. They're obviously under the second investigation. You've got coaches that are getting arrested and staffers getting arrested and in trouble. So there's a lot going on outside. But we did hear from them. It was the first time since really spring practice got going. So it's been a while since we last spoke to him. So I guess it was nice to hear him, but yeah, we didn't learn a lot. I mean, we asked a question about the quarterback situation. He didn't say much. Wouldn't even really like give his like seal of approval on some of these guys. I asked him point blank, like, do you think the quarterback, your starting quarterback in the fall, is currently on the roster? And he just said, we'll see. So I guess we will see. And that was just a couple of days after Kurt Campbell, the OC and quarterback's coach, told us that they didn't think they'd have to go to the transfer portal for a quarterback. So I don't know. It was hard to glean much out of today. It's clear Sharone's kind of taken the Jim Harbaugh approach as kind of the CEO of the program, like not wanting to reveal too much, not divulging a whole lot that's going on. Clearly that's by choice. That's certainly his MO, and he gets to do what he wants. But given the fact that this team won a national championship and they're coming off arguably the best three-run period of the program's history, you'd think they'd want a little more attention, and you'd think they'd have more momentum, and just it doesn't feel that way. You mentioned the recruiting struggles, I mentioned the arrests. Yes, it is a new head coach, and you think Sharone would want to come out, put his stamp on things, and kind of look to differentiate himself from his predecessor, but it's been kind of the opposite. It almost seems like he's trying to emulate Jim Harbaugh in some ways. And hey, that's what he wants to do. That's fine. But he's certainly going to have to win this fall, I think, to hold some of that up.
Yeah, and I mean, Jim Harbaugh always used to say like he wants to attack every day with an enthusiasm unknown to mankind, and there was absolutely no enthusiasm from Sharone Moore today too. So obviously, we don't know if that's the case from or behind the scenes, but. Yeah, not a lot of juice in today's presser. And yeah, it seems like he's kind of just waiting in the shadows at this point and just staying low and biding time to let something build momentum for the program for him, whether that's recruiting or in the transfer portal or what, because they haven't really done much there. But as we say, yeah, Monday maybe is a little bit of a positive start. I think the Marshall's commitment happened just as we were arriving to the Michigan's practice facility today for Sharone's interview. So, obviously coaches aren't allowed to talk about individual recruits, but he wouldn't even like dance around the question of just in recruiting in general too. He kind of just said, yeah, we'll, we're doing what we can, and they'll commit when they commit. So not much to glean, as you said. So
it's important to point out too, while we're talking about recruiting, you know, I mentioned the probation Michigan got put on last week, and part of that is our recruiting restrictions. The issue is we don't really know the details of that, what exactly is involved with that stuff. So I behind the scenes, I think there's maybe some stuff Michigan can't do right now. I don't know what. Maybe it plays into the idea, the reason why they haven't gotten to commit in so long. But I've got to wonder, and look, Sharon was asked the question point blank if, you know, what that entails, and he wouldn't go into detail. So I don't know how much that's going to hamper recruiting going forward, at least temporarily. Perhaps it explains the drought that ended today. But I don't know. It is a weird feeling. It's different. It is notable. It's the first Monday after spring practice ended. But certainly, as we said, momentum, Michigan certainly doesn't have a ton of it.
And I still don't fully understand why it can't be like the NCAA basically for not the Connor Stallions investigation, but for the one over the impermissible contact of recruits and coaches that are not allowed to coach on the field. So it, to me, it's like, all right, that case is kind of closed now. And the NCAA came out with the announcement of the penalties. And typically when they do that, they are pretty specific with, hey, yeah, there's scholarship is limited this amount. The fine is this amount. With Michigan, they didn't necessarily do that. So to me, that's a little, I haven't really gotten a good answer on that yet as to why the penalties are lacking details, but I'm sure it'll come out eventually. But yeah, that is something that will kind of hang over Michigan's head here heading into a crucial recruiting period for during the rest of spring and summer. So yeah, we did finally get a chance to witness some of the 2024 Wolverines, witness it for ourselves at the Big House on Saturday for the annual spring game. Team Mays beat Team Blue 17-7, but we all know the story of the game doesn't really mean diddly squat in these scrimmages. Take us beyond the box score, Aaron, and kind of what stood out to you on the field.
Well, I came out of Saturday not real impressed with the quarterbacks. And obviously, that was probably something, the position everyone was trying to pay attention to and get a read off of. Alex Orsi was a starter for the Blue team. Davis Ward was a starter for the Mays team. That signaled to me that those two are probably the top two quarterbacks coming out of spring practice. Again, that's an assumption on my end and nothing that they've said publicly. But neither guy looked totally impressive. Like, Orgy looked fine on the ground, and we all knew he has legs and he has scrambling ability, and that's certainly a strength of his game. But again, his passing didn't look too hot. He missed a couple of wide open receivers. Especially early in the game, he threw way behind a wide open Tyler Morris, streaking over the middle of the field, the crossing route. And then Davis Warren, he hit a couple of deep balls. And he made some good reads and looked fine, but you know, even in one of like the long throws, like Kendrick Bell, the 48 yard touchdown throw, it seemed like the ball hung up there for way too long. Luckily Kendrick Bell's tall and he was able to go up and get it, but even those didn't look super polished. So, you know, afterwards we spoke to Kurt Campbell, as I mentioned, the quarterback's coach and OC. He made it sound like they're not looking at going to the portal right now, and they're going to roll with what they have on the roster. So we'll see. I mean, we saw those two. Jaden Davis play a little bit. He looked fine at times, but it sounds like they're not really, you know, keen on maybe, giving him the rock this year. So and then Jack Tuttle, he didn't play at all. So it sounds like he's gonna be clear in the summer. He'll be able to go in the fall. But again, he's banged up. Didn't practice much in the spring. So I don't know. Quarterbacks were iffy. You saw some good things out of some of those guys. Some not so great things out of them as well. Offense, I don't know. It was a mishmash of things, right? Like the offensive line was playing kind of scatterbrained. There's a lot. Some of the starters didn't play. Some did and only played a handful of reps. Our starters were playing with backups, so it's hard to get a good read on it. The one offensive player that did impress me in the few reps that he did play was Donovan Edwards. He had a couple of really good runs early. He looked good. He looked fresh. He had a good burst to him. He definitely looked a little bigger. We heard a lot about him putting on weight in the offseason. So offensively, Donovan Edwards was definitely thumbs up, stock up. Quarterbacks, I don't know, iffy. And then, you know, everything else, they're lacking depth at receiver, and that's going to be a huge issue going into the summer.
Yeah. Let's go back to the quarterbacks again real quick. I mean, let's handicap it right now. Give me what the chances are that, from what we've heard and seen so far, the chances that Michigan adds a quarterback in the portal this offseason.
Well, based on what Kirk Campbell said, I'd say probably less than a 30% chance. Now, if you would have asked me this before the spring game, I would have probably said a little higher, probably like 50, 60. It doesn't sound like they will, but you know, I also asked Sharon today and he didn't necessarily rule it out either. I don't know if that was his design or not, but it's all going to depend, right, on who's in there, if there's someone that matches the offense, if it's someone that can actually get into the school from an admissions perspective. So in a way that they're kind of hampered there. So I'm sure they'll take a look. I'm sure they'll examine and everything else, but they're in a real interesting spot just from a quarterback perspective. I mean, a couple of years ago, we knew Cade McNamara was going to be the guy. We didn't necessarily know how he was going to do, but we knew he was the guy, and we had seen him a little bit in games. In the last 2 years, J.J. McCarthy was clearly the front runner. He was clearly the best player. He was really good. That's just not the case, at least right now. Like, Orji doesn't – I don't know. His arm is questionable to me. I don't know if he can put it together on a regular basis. I will say this. Of all the quarterbacks we've heard from and spoke to, he sounded like the most, like, leader-like. I mean, talking to him after the game Saturday, he was an impressive individual. I mean, he answered every question thrown his way. They're expansive. He sounded very mature, very like leader oriented. So if you're looking for a leader off the field, he's certainly the guy. But I mean, from an arm perspective, I thought Davis Warren looked a little bit better.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to run down some of the young quarterbacks right now, the Alex Orjis, the Jaden Davises, they all kind of had some deer in headlights moments out there where, like, a little bit of pressure in the face, let's just get rid of it or panic and make a poor decision with the ball. So that's, I mean, we know how important that Michigan places an emphasis on protecting the football and not making costly mistakes. So we haven't really seen that. We didn't see much of that in Saturday's game. So that's why, to me, I think Michigan's going to try pretty hard to add someone just to maybe push for some of these guys a little bit too, and at least give them another option. If, say, the Texas game doesn't go very well, if Orji or Tuttle starts in that and doesn't go very well, all right, this new guy, whoever they brought in, has a couple games has under his belt, or to, and maybe they can throw him in there heading into Big Ten play. Who knows? But yeah, it's kind of underwhelming right now, and this isn't a Cade situation like a couple of years ago either, because he had so many pieces around him that were built to be like he had a sturdy offensive line. You know, he had running backs that could carry the load and put him in second and short, third and short situations that were conducive to scoring points and Cade's skill set. Nowadays, for any of these quarterbacks, they're probably going to need to rely on them more than they should, just because they lost so much from last year's offense.
Yeah, it doesn't help that the receiver room is lacking depth. There's some guys there. Don't get me wrong. I think Samaj Morgan can be very good. Tyler Morris can be good. Kendrick Bell showed some flashes, and they just moved him from quarterback, so I don't know how much they realistically can get out of him this year. But there's just lack of playmakers on the outside generally. So, you know, whoever is at quarterback, there's going to be a lot thrown at them. I mean, yes, you have a tight end, Colson Loveland, you can throw to. Yes, there's Donovan Edwards and the running backs, but there's not a lot of options there. So it's going to be interesting offseason to see what they do. The one name we really haven't talked about a lot, Jane Denegal, he played quite a bit on Saturday, but the revelation we heard after the game on Saturday from Kirk Campbell was that he didn't have a very good start to spring practice. In fact, Kirk called it very bad, I think a bad start. First week, I guess he wasn't good at all. And he eventually got it together and got better as spring went on. But again, Saturday spring game, he didn't look too great. He threw an interception. He made some mistakes. So that, you know, right now, you know, I got to think Denegal is probably third in the depth chart coming out of spring. I guess I put Orji one, but it's close. Davis Warren's right there. And then we don't know where Jack Tuttle falls at this point, just because he's been so banged up. But it sounds like he's going to get an opportunity in fall camp. So either way, it sounds like this is going to continue into camp, into August. I don't know how far into camp we're going to go. Kirk Campbell has said he's willing to go as long as it takes. But right now, it's clear coming out of the spring game, Michigan doesn't have a defined, obvious choice at quarterback.
Right. And I think if there is one position where I feel very confident that they're going to add in the transfer portal, it is at receiver. Like, there's just not enough scholarship bodies there, not enough experience. And I don't know who it is going to be at this point, but I can definitely see them adding at least one, maybe two, three bodies there. Even Fred Moore joked after the game. He's like, yeah, man, our legs are gassed after every practice just because there's not enough guys running the routes and going through these drills with the first and second team. So, like, these guys are just getting gassed out there, and that's just not ideal for any offense. So definitely can envision them adding some depth there, maybe even a starter or two, a guy, Nico Collins-type body, someone that can stretch the field a little bit. We've talked about this throughout the spring. We feel like that's what Michigan needs. We'll see what happens there. But defensively, they lost the Mike Sammerstills, the Chris Jenkins, some other top players from the last couple of years. But, I mean, they seemed to reload, and overall a pretty solid performance from the defense on Saturday. What are your thoughts on that side of the ball?
Yeah, I thought it was fine. It was another situation where, like, a lot of the key guys either didn't play at all or played minimally. I mean, like, Mason Graham didn't suit up. KG, I don't think, suited up. We saw a little bit of Derek Moore, I think, but I don't remember seeing Josiah Stewart a ton. They looked fine, but again, they're going up against an offense that I think is certainly less than polished. So right. It's hard to get a gauge on how good they are. But yeah, they're fine. I mean, I will say this. The one thing I took away from defensively was the cornerback battle between Jair Hill and DJ Waller is going to be interesting. They both played quite a bit on Saturday. They're battling for the second starting spot opposite Will Johnson. Two talented guys. They both made plays at different times on Saturday. So that's a spot to watch, I think. Every other spot largely is filled. We know Zeke Berry seems to be the front runner at nickel. I don't know how much they're going to utilize the nickel spot. I think they will, but are they going to use it as much as they did last year? I don't know. I could see, Michigan rolling with three linebackers regularly, especially if they're going to bring a lot of, blitz and pressure with Wink, at the helm. But largely, I mean, they're fine. They were clearly trying to avoid injury. They don't want to get anybody banged up. And that was something Sherrill Moore talked about coming out of spring, is that they felt like they came out of Saturday's game relatively, relatively healthy. So that's what you want. Obviously, Rod Moore, we still don't know. We don't have a timeline in his return. Sounds like he hasn't even gotten surgery yet. So I don't know when that's going to happen. But my suspicion is he's going to be out most of the spring. So Michigan does have to fill that second safety spot. So a lot of moving pieces, especially in the secondary, whereas the front is more defined and I think more settled.
Yeah, I think you went the fall there. Rod Moore will miss most of the fall. But yeah, you mentioned a lot of depth pieces playing on defense. Can you guess who the two leading tacklers were, or the leading tacklers were on each team?
I didn't even look. I'm going to guess a linebacker. I'm going to say Jaden Hood and I don't know. Give me another linebacker.
Yeah, Max Reyes for the Mays team with six tackles, and then Joseph Plunder and Christian Boyven with five tackles each on the blue team. So not exactly household names leading the teams in tackles there. But, yeah, and there wasn't a lot of it was a very vanilla play calling, too, I think, on both teams. So a lot of runs. The linebackers were involved there, but, like, not a lot of deep shots. Davis Warren hit that one, but other than that, it's like there was quick throws, not a lot of deep routes. So, a decent turnout, I think, for the spring game, for it being kind of cold. I think 31,000. I spent most of the game out in the stands interviewing some fans, just their thoughts on the program. But yeah, other than that, I mean, spring games are tough, man. Like, there's not a whole lot going on. There's not a lot of top players playing. The intensity is not really there, but it is cool for fans, I'm sure, to check out the stadium and get a little glimpse of the future of the program. But yeah, it's tough to glean much, like you said, about where this team actually stands heading into next year.
Yeah. I mean, you nailed it. I feel like we're a broken record when it comes to the spring game year after year, like even last year and a couple of years when the team was good or expected to be good, you don't learn a lot. You don't like see a lot of the key guys sometimes. Or if you do, it's for minimal number of snaps. So, but like you said, it's an opportunity for families to come out, see the stadium. It's a free event, so it's fun there. And I know they had other NIL stuff built around it, so there are opportunities there. The weather obviously wasn't great. It's always a toss up this time of the year. It was windy and cold this year, but I'm glad they held it. They staged it. There have been years in the past where they didn't have one, or they closed it, or whatever the case may be. So. It was good to finally see Shromor's kind of team. We've been talking to all these guys and these coaches, and to see them, in the living flesh, I guess. Kirk Campbell coached one team. Wink Martindale coached the other. Kirk Campbell came out victorious. I think they got steak. The players and the coaches got steak out of it. Just a fun event. It ended the spring practice schedule. Michigan is now done. Their 15 practices are up. Now they kind of go into the offseason. Players, I understand, are going to get a couple weeks off. They got finals coming up. They'll be able to go home for a little bit. Semester's over, and then they come back for summer workouts. And then before you know it, August will get here, and fall camp begins.
And before that, the NFL draft starts on Thursday, and Michigan probably will only have that one first-round pick with J.J. McCarthy. But overall, it should be a very, very, very busy draft for the Wolverines. We'll see how many of them get picked. We will discuss that later this week on our next podcast. And yeah, as promised, probably some more basketball talk when Andrew gets back and where that program stands. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you again soon.